Last season on the Choosing Sides F1 podcast, we established unequivocally that F1 is the pinnacle of motorsports.
We did, but honestly, I was left with more questions than answers, Tony.
I'm Tony Karen Brown, a tech, culture, and F1 commentator.
And I'm Michael Costa, comedian from The Daily Show.
Join us for season two of Choosing Sides F1.
Our F1 102, if you will.
And get all of the answers.
All of them? Listen to Choosing Sides F1 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts,
or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Freddie Prinz Jr. and Jeff Dye back in the ring. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. Hey, Jeff, are you ready to rumble our way into an all-new season of Wrestling with Freddie?
You better believe I have. I've been practicing my body slams, and I'm jacked.
All right, don't go injuring yourself now. We'll be highlighting the best stories and matches of the week in wrestling from AEW, WWE, and have one-on-one talks with the best talents in the world of pro wrestling.
Listen to Wrestling with Freddie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Saleha Mohsen, and I've covered economic policy for years and reported on how it impacts people across the United States. In 2016, I saw how voters were leaning towards Trump and how so many Americans felt misunderstood by Washington. So I started The Big Take DC. We dig into how money, politics, and power shape government and the consequences for voters. With new episodes every Thursday, you can listen to The Big Take DC on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Big Take from Bloomberg News brings you what's shaping the world's economies with the smartest and best-informed business reporters around the world.
We cover the stories behind what's moving money and markets
and help you understand what's happening, what it means, and why it matters every afternoon. I'm Sarah Holder.
I'm Saleha Mohsen.
And I'm David Gura. Listen to The Big Take on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is VSiN's Big Bets with Dave Ross and Amal Shah on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Welcome back in. VSiN Big Bets rolling along on a Thursday. Happy to be with you. I'm Jeff Parles in for Dave Ross. Amal Shah's here. Kelly Bidlin is here. Hey, our guy Mike Pritchard's going to join us in 15 minutes. We'll get the player perspective on, again, got another 10 days or so till a big game in Glendale. Hey, VSiN's going to be there. We're going to tell you about that a little bit later in the show as well. Actually, Kelly's got it. Kelly Bidlin is a good producer. Because I would have completely forgotten about our VSiN pro tip of the hour if it wasn't for our guy, Kelly Bidlin. And we'll go right into it from the past hour right now here at the top of this hour. If you haven't made a bet on the Super Bowl yet, no need to rush. Wait, especially with the injuries that are out there. So wait on an injury information, especially on the Kansas City side. Again, our VSiN pro tips available at VSiN.com for pro subscribers only. Our VSiN pro tip of hour number one here at the top of hour number two.
By the way, what network has the Super Bowl this year?
Fox. Burkhardt and Olsen.
Fantastic. Hopefully the radio works.
I'll leave that one on the vine there, Amal. Going to the NBA.
Why is that? I want to know.
Get Brady up to speed quick. Come on. Like, get him in the booth.
So this is the last year of the current NFL deal. Oh. So that's why Fox has two out of three. Because they had it 2 years ago.
Got it. I really don't pay attention. I mean, it's like 50-50 whether I'll end up watching the game or not. But it's one game. People act like, you know, they go crazy on betting this game. Like, there's not going to be a college basketball and an NBA game the next night.
I'm all ready to bet Quinnipiac on that Monday night.
Quinnipiac had a nice comeback against Marist the other day. Good second half play.
Yeah, but they also, did they end up blowing that game to Iona?
Yes, they were up by 17.
Yeah.
You could have gotten the Gales at plus 7.5 in there in the second half line, and they come back and the Gales storm back. Ricky P's team is very solid.
That's actually not a bad league, all things considered.
Yeah, I agree with you.
It's been over the last few years.
Yeah.
All right, let's go to the NBA. Kelly, when's the deadline? Deadline's a week from today, correct?
February 9th.
Yep.
A week from today. Let's go to some odds at DraftKings. On players to be dealt, it's kind of amazing Jay Crowder hasn't been dealt yet.
Yeah.
Honestly.
Because Jay Crowder is not as good as Jay Crowder and Phoenix thinks he is.
Yeah. That's correct. That's great. You're not wrong there. Not wrong. Minus 700 on Crowder. He's the most likely player to get dealt at the deadline. OG Anunoby. Why is Toronto so steadfast on running OG out of town?
Kevin? Because they don't want to pay him.
Yeah.
Is that it? Is it as simple as that?
I also don't think it – I wouldn't phrase it like that. It's apparently turned into a bit of a bidding war over the guy. So Toronto, I mean, what if they're not going to pay him, might as well ship him off for something good.
So, Kelly, I'll ask you this real quick. Bogdanovich at minus 200 is probably of the non-out-of-control numbers. Bogdanovich at minus 200 is probably the best of these numbers, right?
Man, you would think so, but you keep reading. If you read anything about Bogdanovich in the trade market for him right now, they keep rejecting trades for him, and they keep making statements about how they like it. You'll hear this about Mike Connolly in Utah too, not Mike Connolly, about Clarkson in Utah too, about how these guys they like the experience mixing in with the youth that they have there. I cannot imagine they're going to keep this guy. I think that's more just positioning. So yes, I guess if as far as the shorter favorites go, that's one I like. Cam Reddish is going to get moved. I don't really know what the Knicks are going to get back for him, but the minus $3, if you got the bankroll, I think he's going to get traded. I don't know why. Atlanta's hated him. New York's hated him. He can't break into the rotation of either of those teams. So I would expect he's going to get moved somewhere. Eric Gordon's tougher because of the contract. I think there is a chance he ends up staying in Houston. And then, man, John Collins, just please get him out of there in Atlanta. They're not even using him now. His usage rate is as low as it's been in his entire career.
Kelly, they gotta keep Eric Gordon in Houston because they got to get ready to get Harden in the offseason, right?
Right? First of all, why do you want to acquire James Harden?
Go ahead.
My question is, for
Houston, it makes no sense.
What, is there a shortage of patrons going to strip clubs? I mean, what's the problem? Why do you want this guy back in Houston? It makes zero sense to me.
I don't know why you would either. I mean, you have two young developing guards, Kevin Porter Jr. and Jalen Green. Yeah. I don't know why you would want to take the ball out of their hands at all either.
You know, you mentioned Crowder. Obviously, he's going to get moved, but does he really matter? I mean, we're talking about Jay Crowder.
Hey,
it's like we're trading LeBron prime.
Amal, for our bucks, okay, and that's the way we're referring him to him from now on, even though neither of us have bets on him, but whatever.
Exactly, yeah.
Our bucks, whatever, you just stack the lineup more with 3-and-D guys. I'm assuming he can still play some D. I'm assuming he can still shoot a 3, but I don't know. I haven't seen it. We haven't seen him play all year.
So, Jeff, Kelly and I will pick certain teams throughout the course of the season because I don't have any professional teams I follow.
Okay.
And so I'm a huge Giannis guy. I think Giannis should be forced to go to New York just for the greater good of the league. No, I'm being serious. I mean, Giannis is the greatest ambassador for the NBA out there. Tell me one person that
He's amazing.
Tell me one person that genuinely dislikes Giannis, not because he beat your Phoenix Suns or he beat this team, but you sit there and you go, don't like him. Look, I don't like LeBron because he comes across as a racist to me. Okay, I don't like LeBron because he sits there and cries and wants to speak about everything. But, you know, there's other guys you respect the hell out of. And Giannis is a guy that's globally respected. He's a European player. He's one of the two or three best players in the world. For my money, he is the best player in the world. You look at him and Joker. By the way, Jokic, to me, when you look at him, he should be the MVP. It'll tie Larry Bird for 3 in a row, 84 to 86. His numbers are way better than Luka's. Mm-hmm. Luka's a chucker. Nobody looks at Luka's stats. Mm-hmm. You look at Luka putting up points. Look at his field goal percentage, his free throw. Do you know Luka Doncic is on the same career path in terms of free throws as LeBron James? When you look at Kobe and Jordan, why they're so much greater? Because they're 10% better at the foul line.
Yeah.
You want guys. Joker, 80-something percent at the free throw line. I think 86 year. Joel Embiid, 85% at the free throw line. To me, there's a separation between these guys. And Giannis, to me, is the best player in the world. He's the most likable player in the NBA. If he went to the Knicks, imagine if I'm the owner, if I'm the commissioner, I go, listen, you got to give him up. We're going to give you a ton of money, whatever it is. It's for the greater good of the league because Milwaukee just didn't get the run, even though they won the NBA title in the last couple of years. He's just a tremendous player.
I think like Giannis, I can't wait to see Wembanyama because I think he's going to take those cuts. He's going to need a couple years to develop. Oh, man. One of my new favorite teams will be whatever team he is.
I'm with you on that one. That kid's going
to
be an absolute.
I can't wait to see that kid play. He might not be dominant his rookie year, but he's going to give you about 10 plays his rookie year. We're all going to be like, whoa. Did you see that highlight?
Hey, you want to lay a minus 4,000 on him to be the first pick?
Yeah,
good. I still think that's a good bet, actually.
I agree with you.
It's not a bad bet.
I still think it's a good bet.
JVT and I were talking about that on Hardwood Handicappers a few weeks ago when it jumped from minus 2,000 to minus 4,000 like overnight at DK. And we were kind of marveling over it, but it's like, you got the bankroll. It's a good bet.
I completely agree with you. There's nobody else. Scoot Henderson's going to go number two.
Yeah, yeah.
But the reality of it, this reminds me. Remember you, before your guys' time, but when Ewing was the draft lottery winner for the Knicks in '85 with the corner bent envelope, which is obvious. You can find it on YouTube. The reality is, you see the Knicks pull up the jersey. We're taking Patrick Ewing number one. There were certain slam dunks. I didn't think the Durant-Oden one was as much of a slam dunk as other people thought, because I thought Durant, you could just watch him at Texas, and you looked at him coming out of Montrose. He was unbelievable. But to me, Wembanyama, the general manager would not be fired by the team. He would be shot on sight if he didn't take him number one.
Oh, yeah. Often when we talk about markets like this, there's always the caveat of – well, except if he gets injured. I don't even – if this guy gets injured –
doesn't matter if he gets injured. As long as it's not a career-ending injury.
Right.
He is going number one.
Yes.
They will – you know what? I'm sure if you're – let's say if you're Houston and you win the lottery. You know what? If he has to sit out his first 2 years, that's fine. Right. Let's go through the process and
missed the first 2 years for Philadelphia.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it doesn't make a difference. Listen, Wembanyama is the number one pick. The intrigue really starts after the second pick.
Because the second pick, I honestly have
no idea who I would pick at number three. I have no clue.
What's interesting is a lot of the college guys this year have not really emerged.
I guess I would take Miller. I guess. But he's a tweener, though.
He can play the three. He's a three. I mean.
Yeah.
I don't know. By the way, just real quick, looking at it in the Eastern Conference, who's coming out of there for you? I'm going to be biased. I'm going to say Milwaukee.
On the East, I think if Kevin Durant comes back healthy, the Nets are going to come out of it.
Well, could he make up that 30-point differential in the first quarter? By the way, last night might have been the two worst NBA games on ESPN and back-to-back games ever.
Did you enjoy the 30-point margin in the first quarter in the first game? You didn't enjoy that?
I did, because I didn't mind.
You were the Celtics?
To me, when you look at it, it was only 46-16 for people that didn't miss the Boston Brooklyn game. And congratulations to you that you missed that. And then Atlanta Phoenix last night. I mean, holy cow! Another 30-point debacle. Bad.
Hey, the Hawks right now are 500 with the same amount of points scored and points allowed on the season. Talk about being average. that's what the Atlanta Hawks are. I really, to answer your question, though, if Kevin Durant comes back healthy, I actually do think the Nets are going to get there this year. With the one caveat to that, here's the one caveat: if they end up on the same side as Milwaukee,
yes,
then they're in big trouble. Because I think they match up terribly with Milwaukee.
In the East, it is such a huge advantage to have one of these three teams. You guys aren't buying Philly.
Nah, who's their coach?
They're fourth to me.
Who's their coach?
I don't disagree with you on the Doc Rivers thing.
I mean, they will find a way to lose a playoff series they shouldn't.
Okay, harder question for you. Who's coming out of the West?
That's the much tougher question.
I don't really buy Denver with their great record.
Okay. At this moment, you know who I think's coming out of the West?
If you say Memphis, you're not going to be here for hour number two.
No, I think the Golden State Warriors are coming out of the West.
Okay, that's fine.
I got four teams.
Jeez, why don't you take the whole league?
No, it's Nuggets, Clippers, Warriors, or Pelicans.
Nuggets, Clippers, Warriors.
The Pelicans need Zion to get healthy.
I don't have a problem with any of your picks. Yeah. I'll tell you what, I really like the Pels.
They've been bad recently, as Jeff's hinting at. But get Zion back, get this defense back to early season form. Whew, you don't want to face them.
All I will say is, if the Sacramento Kings were the Los Angeles Lakers, they would be the favorites right now. Just throwing that out there. Just throwing that out
there.
That's
my guy, De'Aaron Fox.
Just throwing that out there. Hey, Mike Pritchard's going to join us next.
Last season on the Choosing Sides F1 podcast, we established unequivocally that F1 is the pinnacle of motorsports.
Lily Herman, my co-host in season one, helped me choose a team, a driver, and then...
Well, we sent you on your jolly way.
Yeah.
I'm Tony Karen Brown, a tech, culture, and F1 commentator.
I'm Michael Costa, comedian, Daily Show correspondent.
And we're back with season two because, as it turns out, F1's newest fan is still a little...
dazed and confused.
Join us for season two of Choosing Sides F1 as we dive deeper into the rabbit hole of the pinnacle of motorsports.
Who makes money here?
What's CFD?
How do you manage a tire?
You, get back in there.
What are the rumors? What's the gossip?
But you also know that someone's listening to your radio.
I'm going to pull up a picture of a tea cozy. I want to see what this thing looks like. Are you going to be doing that accent this whole pod?
Listen to Season 2 of Choosing Sides F1 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts,
or wherever you get your podcasts. You find it.
Attention all wrestling aficionados. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. This is Freddie Prinze Jr., and I am beyond thrilled to announce that our wrestling extravaganza is back, and joining me once again is the one and only Jeff Dye.
Get ready as we highlight the most jaw-dropping matches, dissect the fiercest feuds, and uncover the latest twists and turns in the world of pro wrestling.
We're dusting off our legendary side quests and unleashing a barrage of brand new segments that will keep you guys on the edge of your seat, like our talks on Unsanctioned Thursdays.
Freddie, you know we gotta give the people what they want. This season, we have an all-star lineup of special guests who are gonna be gracing our podcast, bringing with them their own unique insights, experiences, and all of that in the world of pro wrestling and beyond.
Whether you're a seasoned wrestling veteran or a fresh-faced newcomer, we promise an experience like no other. So buckle up, wrestling fans. Listen to Wrestling with Freddie as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Big Take from Bloomberg News brings you what's shaping the world's economies with the smartest and best-informed business reporters around the world.
Western nations like the U.S. and Europe.
Mexico will likely have its first female president.
And then you have China.
And help you understand what's happening, what it means, and why it matters.
He'll get his yo-yos to Europe in time. But the longer this drags on, the more worry he's getting.
They knew that they needed to do this as fast as they possibly could to get a drug on the market as fast as they could.
I'm David Gura.
I'm Sarah Holder.
I'm Saleha Mohsen. We cover the stories behind what's moving money and markets.
Basically, everyone was expecting, if not a calamity, certainly a recession.
But the problem is that that paperwork, as our reporting showed, is fake.
As someone who's covering the market, I'm often very worried about an imminent collapse. So I'm thinking about it quite often.
Listen to The Big Take on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Julian Edelman from Games with Names, and we're on a search to find the greatest games of all time. I'm talking Hall of Famers, MVPs, gold medalists.
I absolutely hate the Colts, bro. This game, I swear, led to the Deflategate.
Hey, guys, this ball's a little flat.
Ever wonder what a locker room feels like at a halftime of a Super Bowl?
Julian walking around, I'm pretty sure he had his shirt off for reasons I'm not sure. He was saying, gotta believe.
Oh, you gotta believe. From 18-1 with Eli.
Are you calling Bill just a cheater? Is that what you're saying right now?
He's looking for an advantage.
The 2004 ALCS with Big Pop.
The Red Sox in 2004 bounced back after the 3-0 winner chicken dinner, homie.
The immaculate reception with Terry Bradshaw.
Fired the ball. I hear the roar of the crowd. I never thought he caught the ball, but he did.
We're going to dive deep into the most iconic games with the most iconic people. New episodes dropping weekly. Listen to Games with Names on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
VSiN's Big Bets with Dave Ross and Amal Shaw on VSiN, the sports betting network.
The big game means big plans for VSiN. VSiN will be in the middle of all the action, broadcasting live from Radio Row in Arizona with athlete and celebrity interviews and all of our experts breaking down the game. You won't want to miss any of our coverage here at VSiN. So huddle up and watch Follow the Money, Lombardi Line, VSiN's Final Countdown, and VSiN Primetime, all live from Radio Row starting Monday. For betting splits, expert picks, big game props, go to VSiN.com right now. And we actually are going to talk to someone who's going to be there on Monday and Tuesday right now, Amal. And that is our guy who you see on the Pro Football Blitz. You'll see him on the Lombardi Line on Monday and Tuesday next week from Radio Row. Our guy, Mike Pritchard, the former first-round pick, former Colorado Buffalo. Pritch, it's a pleasure to see you as always, buddy.
Jeff, Amal, great to be with you guys. Yeah, getting more and more excited about going down to the Super Bowl in Arizona. It's been a minute. I went to the Dallas Cowboy Pittsburgh Steelers Super Bowl as a player.
Arizona in Super Bowl 30?
Yeah, years ago. Right?
A friend of mine walked into the game without a credential.
Oh, yeah?
Okay. That's why I very vividly remember it, because otherwise I couldn't even tell you where any of the other Super Bowls are.
I know, right? No, it was a crazy Super Bowl down there. But as a player, it was awesome, with the activities. But Now representing VSiN in Lombardi Line is going to be equally as awesome. So can't wait.
Well, we're looking forward to that on Monday and Tuesday with you down there, Mike. Just get into this. We're still about 9-10 days away. The initial thoughts as we sit here on February the 2nd.
Well, I think the Chiefs got to get healthy with their playmakers. I mean, you got Valdes-Scantling and certainly Watson, the two healthy guys. You can throw in Marcus Kemp if you want to, but they're going to need Tony to get back there. Juju certainly to get back there to help out Travis Kelce. Because the Chiefs at this point, guys, offensively, they're one-dimensional, and they're okay with that because they have Patrick Mahomes. You know, they have one of the best playmakers that we've seen, and certainly just a tough, gritty competitor too. So the ultimate competitor at this time for the Chiefs. So Pacheco and McKinnon, I mean, all those guys are going to have to be included in the mix, but they're going to have to get healthy to have the multitude of playmakers that they need against this Eagles defense. And then on the other side, the Eagles are going to have to establish the running game. We all know what the game plans are going to be going into this one.
Mike, you had previously a high ankle sprain when you played. We talked about it last week with Patrick Mahomes. He gutted through it. Now, after having played the game and then now having 2 weeks, from your perspective, give me an idea where you gauge Patrick Mahomes to be from a health standpoint going into that game next Sunday.
Well, I think the wear and tear, you can imagine he's probably going to be even more sore than he was going into the game. Sure. Because that scramble, I mean, your adrenaline and everything that was happening for Patrick Mahomes in that game, now that's going to wear off, right? But his recovery, he's still young. I mean, I think his recovery is really what helped him. Certainly the rehab around the clock, whatever, the treatment and everything that he's going through, he'll be fine. I mean, he'll be healthier going into the game. And this is the ultimate game. I know he said he didn't take any pain aid, if you will, for the conference championship game. But like I said last week, Amal, I think every option will be on the table for Mahomes to be comfortable in this matchup in the Super Bowl.
Mike, just looking at it from the Philadelphia perspective real quick, starting when they're on defense here, and of course going against a guy who, again, we expect them to be healthier, but as you just said, could linger around there with that ankle injury. It really does feel like we've missed this whole year how great that Eagles pass rush was. We saw it in the NFC title game. They, of course, knocked out both quarterbacks in that game, Purdy having to come back. But this is a different animal with this Chiefs offensive line that has been reworked over the last 2 years to really become, other than the unit on the other side with Philly's offensive line, to me, the Chiefs have the second best offensive line in the NFL. How do you attack that from the Eagle perspective with that elite pass rush?
Yeah, on top of that too, Jeff, I mean, you have a quarterback that understands where he needs to go with the football and when. It's all about the footwork in the West Coast offense, and Patrick Mahomes has mastered that. I mean, even when he slipped a little bit, Jeff, he talked about how his footwork kind of let him down, and that's why it led to some mistakes out there. So the offensive line combined with Patrick, his awareness in the huddle, or not in the huddle, in the pocket, I think that is going to be difficult for the Eagles. You know, the Eagles, I think their surgence in terms of the pass rush and how they flipped it from last year, like just 29 sacks all last season, you get to over 70 this year. Primarily one guy, you know, you think about Reddick, you also can think about Sweat, but they have an incredible rotation up there that keeps guys fresh. But like you mentioned, against a formidable offensive line and guys that can match up one-on-one, that's going to be interesting. We saw the San Francisco 49ers kind of take a different tact and have a tight end trying to block a premier pass rusher, and that's what led to Brock Purdy getting hurt. I don't think the Chiefs are going to do something like that. Their tight ends are too prolific in the passing game, and then certainly in terms of the two guys that they have on the bookends on that offensive line, I think they feel pretty confident about their protections out there.
It should be interesting to pay attention to there. Mike, when you look at the Philadelphia game, not taking anything away from their performance getting to the Super Bowl, they get the benefit of the Devontae Smith call. They have the roughing the kicker call, which keeps the drive alive. You have the Johnson fumble.
Right.
Were you concerned at all about Philadelphia? And I know San Francisco's got a great defense that, you know, this team got to play the Giants, and I'm not taking anything away from them because they got in the postseason, but let's be real here. That's about a dream scenario as you can get, and then you play a team with no quarterback. I can't remember a run that's been easier for a team to win two games than what Philadelphia had to go through.
Yeah.
Does this concern you at all in terms of their performance against San Francisco? I mean, realistically, if Purdy's in that game, we might have seen a different result.
Yeah, you know, I was high on the 49ers, to be honest with you, Amal. I mean, I've been vocal about I thought they had the best roster in the National Football League. The NFC was top-heavy, too, with those two teams. No, I think the Eagles are the real deal. What they evolved to during the course of that game, because I think the 49ers defense was holding strong. They were holding them in, even with the quarterback situation. But after the turnover from Josh Johnson and they get the easy score, maybe there was a letdown. But in that second half, too, I mean, what the Eagles were able to get to evolve to offensively was, if you're backing the Eagles, I mean, that gives you confidence. You know, they got to a situation with their option game or their perimeter rushing attack where they can identify and create formations and personnel packages to have numbers advantages to the weak side. And we saw that repeatedly, whether you're pulling Jason Kelce or whether your wide receivers are blocking on the edge or however you can create a numbers advantage. And some of those runners were not even touched, as they're going through the line of scrimmage. So I think they have orchestrated it very well, talking about their rushing attack and the Eagles and how they get to it and how they evolve to it. That can be concerning to the Chiefs. And Spags is going to have his work cut out for him throughout the game, trying to keep those adjustments fresh out there.
Mike, who's the underrated, under the radar player that you think could have the biggest impact on this game?
Well, a lot of people are talking about Gainwell. That's a great question, Jeff. I have not covered that angle. Wow, you got me on this one. because you look at it, I mean, I think Valdez-Scantling is a guy to keep an eye on too, because he's a deep threat, and you know, Patrick Mahomes, he likes to throw the ball deep, even though he needs to matriculate. I mean, we're looking at Super Bowl MVP odds. I've already put some money on Miles Sanders. He's the top five rusher in the National Football League in terms of yards. But he's a top four explosive player when you look at explosive plays over 10 yards in a rushing attack in the National Football League this year. And if the Eagles can rev up that rushing game and he can break a few big runs and get himself into the end zone a few times, then he's a potential MVP of this game if the Eagles could win it. So definitely looking there. But I would go Valdez-Scantling as an under-the-radar type of player to keep an eye on.
You know, to me, I like this pick here because I think anybody can emerge. And I think when you look at some of the futures markets and the prices at 60-1, those are guys that could really surprise you. And sometimes in the Super Bowl, it's not the obvious pick that emerges, guys.
Right, right. No, I mean, I think when you look at the Eagles, their path to victory, I mean, they use six eligibles, right? Jalen Hurts is included, but he's a favorite. But when you play with six eligibles, any of those guys can make an impact. And that's why I'm leaning towards Miles Sanders there.
He's Mike Pritchard again. You're going to see Mike on Radio Row for us on the Lombardi Line on Monday and Tuesday. Of course, he did the Pro Football Blitz all season long. One last edition of that on Saturday. And then, of course, leading into the game next Saturday as well. Mike, pleasure as always. Enjoy Arizona.
Yeah, I will, guys. I won't have any stories for you, Amal, but I'll definitely enjoy myself down there, man.
Mike Pritchard,
take care,
everyone.
Safe travels.
Safe travels down to the Glendale, Phoenix area. Hey, when we come back, we got more to get to in the NBA. Do we have a Kelly Bidlin bet on the NBA coming next?
I actually don't have anything.
Oh, well, you know what? Maybe Kelly will find a bet.
Buzzkill.
But we'll look at the card tonight in the association on the other side here on VSiN Big Bets.
VSiN's Big Bets with Dave Ross and Amal Shaw on VSiN, the sports betting network.
If you're looking for a betting edge on football's big game, the VSiN experts have you covered. Become a VSiN Pro subscriber with an introductory offer of just $9.99. VSiN Pro subscribers get access to our daily recap of the top plays made by VSiN show hosts and guests. Tools like our betting splits, deep dive betting reports, VSiN betting guides for the biggest games of the season where our experts break down brackets, best bets, and more. Don't miss out. This is just a limited time offer, so visit VSiN.com/subscribe today to take advantage of this offer for just $9.99. Happy to be with you. I'm Jeff Parles in for Dave Ross. Amal Shah is here as well, as always, on VSiN Big Bets. Kelly Bidlin alongside. And we'll get to the card in the NBA in a second. But Kelly Bidlin, this is an interesting market from DraftKings.
Yeah.
Odds to finish the regular season with the most wins. And we were talking about this during the break, and we're going to bring it to air. And I think we're all in agreement here. Boston at minus 240 is pretty wild, all things considered. It's just, again, 3-1. Again, the Celtics at minus 240. The Nuggets at 3-1. The Bucks at plus 850. The 76ers at 17-1. The Grizzlies and the Nets at 50-1. Don't bet the Nets. The Cavs at 250-1. Don't bet that either. They're not going to hop all those teams. The Kings at 1,000-1. How about that? The Kings at 1,000-1, Kelly.
Yeah, 1,000-1. I think I'm going to stay away from
that. You want that?
But they're only seven games out. I mean, look, you can't bet the Celtics here minus 240. It is way too short. I think if you're looking at the Nuggets or the Bucks, those are bettable numbers. Nuggets, we're only talking about 1.5 games out. And in the softer Western Conference. We all think that conference is a bit softer. So 1.5 games back, you're two wins behind the Celtics. I think that, 3-1 on them or plus 850 on the Bucks is where you look in this market. If you're really confident in the Sixers, I mean, that's a great number on them, 17-1. I think the three of us not as confident with that team as possibly others. But, I think those are the two that you look at. I would love to bet the Bucks in that market right now.
Boston still has to go to Milwaukee twice. So you got a great opportunity there. I think you'd take Denver or Milwaukee. And Milwaukee at plus 850. Here's the thing with such a high number, Jeff, as you get later in the season, you could bet the money line on the Celtics in certain spots to be able to cover yourself. I mean, there's some great opportunities there.
Yeah, number's so odd. When you're dealing with an NBA season, as long as it is.
Yeah, exactly.
Still 30 games left.
Well, and remember, Milwaukee's got one more in hand against Boston. I mean, with Boston, so they're in essence two games back.
Same with Denver as well.
I mean, if we want to look at strength of schedule, remaining opponents, right? Milwaukee has the sixth toughest schedule.
That's a problem.
Remaining. If you want to go look at Denver, though, they have the 22nd, and then Boston's right in the middle, 18th.
Minus 240 is crazy. It just is. That should be what, Kelly? They probably should be odds on, but not minus 240.
I don't even know. Yeah.
I'm not even sure if they should be minus 110.
I don't know. Buddy, minus 110, somewhere in that range, probably.
Very strange all the way around. I guess Milwaukee probably is the best bet on that board, just based off the games in hand, the game in hand, the multiple matchups. Only 2.5 behind. I guess plus 850 on Milwaukee probably is your best bet.
No, I think Denver's a really good bet because they're one game behind Boston, in essence, if they win their game and a half back, but they played one less game. They've got the 22nd rated schedule going into the remainder of the season with 31 games remaining. They get Detroit, Houston twice, San Antonio, Charlotte, Orlando, and Toronto twice. I mean, it's not a bad situation for this team. And Toronto might be a completely different team when you see them later on in the year.
Yep.
Yeah, I would say, I mean, again, the Raptors have been one of the bigger disappointments this year, and like we said, probably likely to at least ship up one of their pieces with the deadline coming a week from now. All right, to tonight in the league, Kelly, is LeBron going to play in Indiana tonight?
Yeah, he's looking good to go.
Lakers coming off their overtime win in New York against the Knicks. 2.5-point favorites on the road in Indianapolis tonight, them all with, again, these totals are outrageously high. 240 on this one tonight.
Yeah, I mean, these NBA totals, this is where it is. If you get an in-game and it comes below 230, you got to take it the way these games are from a scoring standpoint. Tyrese Halliburton's having a hell of a year for this team. 20 points a game, 10 assists, leading the association, I think, at 10.2. Shooting the ball, 88% from the free throw line, shooting 40% from the three-point arc, just having a tremendous season.
Expected back tonight. He's been hurt for a while, but expected back tonight. Just to update you real quick, Jeff, actually LeBron with that questionable tag, so I guess he did get downgraded a bit. Anthony Davis and Patrick Beverley both probable, so they should both go.
But, as you alluded to, Halliburton expected to play tonight.
There we go. Check the injury reports as always. because some of these games on paper that look may look awesome may not be as awesome as we think.
Well, if you're paying to go see the game, yeah, that's probably the case.
Yeah. Cleveland. We go to Cleveland next. Grizzlies at the Cavs. Grizzlies have gone completely in the tank since Dylan Brooks and Shannon Sharpe were yelling at each other. 1-6 in their last seven now for Memphis. Cavs are 6-point favorites here at Mall, 223 your total.
Yeah, this is a Memphis team. I'm not as high on everybody else. I mean, as everybody else on Memphis. What's that?
Me either.
Yeah,
look, they're getting better every year, right? But it's still a young core. John Morant, Jaren Jackson Jr., Desmond Bane. I'm going to need to see it a little bit more in the playoffs before I fully buy into this team.
Yeah, I mean, they're a regular season team. Half these teams, like the Warriors, don't even care about the regular season. Their goal in the regular season is just get through healthy. Got a lot of injuries right now on the Memphis side here. That's why you're seeing such a big number. Jaren Jackson going to be questionable in this one tonight for the Grizzlies. Among Steven Adams, who's going to be out, as well as Danny Green. And, you know, you look at this Cleveland team. They're one game back in the standings. I know they're in a different conference in terms of the wins compared to Memphis. So, pretty tough team here. Donovan Mitchell having a tremendous year, averaging 28 points a game. This should be an interesting one.
Yeah, back-to-back for Memphis, so keep an eye on any injuries for them. The Cavs have just been so up and down recently. Yeah. It's tough to they're win a game, lose a game, win a game, lose a game. It's basically been that for the past few weeks. I'd like to see them put together a little bit more consistency. We've seen that defense play well at certain portions of the year. They need to get back to that. Donovan Mitchell, for this team to do well in the Eastern Conference, there's so much pressure on Mitchell to go in there and score, put up big scoring numbers night in and night out. He's going to have to keep doing it.
To Denver next, the Nuggets host the Warriors. Kelly, who is playing for Golden State
tonight?
This
is looking bad, and I'm seeing this stuff come down right now. Steph downgraded to questionable, so that probably means he's not playing. But he's got a questionable tag. Draymond's got a questionable tag. Clay is out for tonight. Wiggins probable. Aaron Gordon with a questionable tag tonight. So pay attention to this one. I've been seeing this line move all over the place past like 30 minutes. It's currently 10.5, 11.
The 12 behind us.
Yeah, 12 here.
You know, to me, you look at this team right now, they've got to just make sure they keep themselves healthy and in a position to get in the playoffs, and then they'll see if they can do work. But the reality is, can you flip the switch when you get in there? Just because you think you can and you've done it in the past doesn't mean you can necessarily do that. And I think sometimes you get caught up betting the wrong team. We've seen like, hey, this team is going to get there. And sometimes they are who they – you know, it's the old great Bill Parcells line. You are who you are what your record is.
Again,
they are struggling on the road.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Kelly, this is a league-wide epidemic with the road with teams struggling on the road. Everyone's terrible on the road now. It's just the home records are so much better than even usual now.
JVT's been doing a great job of tracking this all year, but what home court is worth this year, we haven't really seen it worth as much as it is, at least point-wise. It's over 3 points right now. We haven't seen that in a while. So, yeah, it is a little bit of an oddity, Jeff. I think from a betting standpoint, how much do you really read into that? I don't factor it in too much on a night-to-night basis. It's still the NBA. I think there are certain – like, Amal, you and I have talked about this before, like Friday nights being home games for teams. I think those are always good spots to be at home. Other than that, I don't really know how much I'm usually reading into it, how terrible it is to be on the road. It's more the extended travel, back-to-back situations, how many games, if you play 3 games in 4 days, 3 games in 5 days, that's the stuff you want to keep an eye on more.
There's 7 teams in the NBA right now that are over 500 on the road. Boston, by far, the best, away record in the NBA this year at 17-9.
Boston, Milwaukee, Philadelphia, Brooklyn, and the Knicks, along with Sacramento and the Clippers, are the only teams over 500 on the road. As we all expected, the Kings. 30 seed.
Well, listen, if you got a chance to get out of Sacramento, too, you'd play better.
Hey, you said it. I didn't.
Hey, don't worry about it, Jeff. I got no qualms about saying what I want to say.
Trust me. I know that. I think we're all well aware of that.
Hey, I don't understand. Everybody's eventually going to get canceled. I might as well go down on my sword. I don't want to sit there and be a guy who just kind of, cowtown to cowtown.
Game of the night, Clippers in Milwaukee. Can't wait to watch that one. As of right now, Jeff, all the Clippers guys looks like.
As of now. We'll check back in 4 hours on that one. Hey, we got one more last look. 10 days before the Super Bowl. We're going to talk about the Eagles and the Chiefs a little bit more on the other side. VSiN Big Bets.
Attention all wrestling aficionados. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. This is Freddie Prinze Jr., and I am beyond thrilled to announce that our wrestling extravaganza is back, and joining me once again is the one and only Jeff Dye.
Get ready as we highlight the most jaw-dropping matches, dissect the fiercest feuds, and uncover the latest twists and turns in the world of pro wrestling.
We're dusting off our legendary side quests and unleashing a barrage of brand new segments that will keep you guys on the edge of your seat, like our talks on Unsanctioned Thursdays.
Freddie, you know we gotta give the people what they want. This season, we have an all-star lineup of special guests who are gonna be gracing our podcast, bringing with them their own unique insights, experiences, and all of that in the world of pro wrestling and beyond.
Whether you're a seasoned wrestling veteran or a fresh-faced newcomer, we promise an experience like no other. So buckle up, wrestling fans. Listen to Wrestling with Freddie as part of the My Cultura podcast network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Last season on the Choosing Sides F1 podcast, we established unequivocally that F1 is the pinnacle of motorsports.
Lily Herman, my co-host in season one, helped me choose a team, a driver, and then...
Well, we sent you on your jolly way.
Yeah.
I'm Tony Karen Brown, a tech, culture, and F1 commentator.
I'm Michael Costa, comedian, Daily Show correspondent.
And we're back with season two because, as it turns out, F1's newest fan is still a little...
dazed and confused.
Join us for season two of Choosing Sides F1 as we dive deeper into the rabbit hole of the pinnacle of motorsports.
Who makes money here?
What's CFD?
How do you manage a tire?
You, get back in there.
What are the rumors? What's the gossip? But you also know that someone's listening to your radio.
I'm going to pull up a picture of a tea cozy. I want to see what this thing looks like.
Are you going to be doing that accent this whole pod?
Listen to season two of Choosing Sides F1 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts,
or wherever you get your podcasts. You find it.
The Big Take from Bloomberg News brings you what's shaping the world's economies with the smartest and best-informed business reporters around the world.
Western nations like the U.S. and Europe.
Mexico will likely have its first female president.
And then you have China.
And help you understand what's happening, what it means, and why it matters.
He'll get his yo-yos to Europe in time. But the longer this drags on, the more worry he's getting.
They knew that they needed to do this as fast as they possibly could to get a drug on the market as fast as they could.
I'm David Gura.
I'm Sarah Holder.
I'm Saleha Mohsen. We cover the stories behind what's moving money and markets.
Basically, everyone was expecting, if not a calamity, certainly a recession.
But the problem is that that paperwork, as our reporting showed, is fake.
As someone who's covering the market, I'm often very worried about an imminent collapse. So I'm thinking about it quite often.
Listen to The Big Take on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Julian Edelman from Games with Names, and we're on a search to find the greatest games of all time. I'm talking Hall of Famers, MVPs, gold medalists.
I absolutely hate the Colts, bro. This game, I swear, led to the Deflategate.
Hey, guys, this ball's a little flat.
Ever wonder what a locker room feels like at a halftime of a Super Bowl?
Julian walking around, I'm pretty sure he had his shirt off for reasons I'm not sure. He was saying, gotta believe.
Oh, you gotta believe. From 18-1 with Eli.
Are you calling Bill just a cheater? Is that what you're saying right now?
He's looking for an advantage.
The 2004 ALCS with Big Pop.
The Red Sox in 2004 bounced back after the 3-0 in a winner chicken dinner, homie.
The immaculate reception with Terry Bradshaw.
Fired the ball. I hear the roar of the crowd. I never thought he caught the ball, but he did.
We're going to dive deep into the most iconic games with the most iconic people. New episodes dropping weekly. Listen to Games with Names on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
VSiN's Big Bets with Dave Ross and Amal Shaw on VSiN, the sports betting network.
The final game of the NFL season is set, and Bet Rivers Online Sportsbook is the place to be. You could wind up with $10,000 in bonus money instantly by playing our exclusive Bet Rivers Squares this football season. Place a $10 or more qualifying bet, and you can get a square on the house. If the numbers on your square match the final score of the game you win, Restrictions on qualifying wagers, eligible bonuses, and credit use apply. Full terms and conditions at BetRiversSquares.com. Happy to be with you. I'm Jeff Parles. Mal Shah's alongside. Kelly Bidlin's here as well. Kelly, did you have any other thoughts on the NBA card before we head on over to a game that's being played in 10 days from now?
No, not really. I mean, I just keep eye on injury reports for those two late night games. I'm interested in watching Warriors Nuggets if some of the Warriors decide to suit up, but it's looking like that might not be the case. And Clippers Bucks would be that's a great game to watch. I mean, Clippers starting to play better here recently. Bucks starting to play better here recently. You know, Bobby Portis out right now for them. Can't wait to see this team at full strength. But yeah, man, it's just gonna be a live betting night in the NBA for me tonight. No, nothing pregame.
Yeah, also Giannis is going to be probable for tonight, despite the right knee soreness. So just something to pay attention to if you're looking at that matchup tonight. By the way, late start in Milwaukee tonight, 9 o'clock local time.
I caught my eye last night. Very
is good. That a national TV game?
Yes, sir.
There you go. Turner wants the game on as the second game, so there you go. Well,
you know what surprised me a little bit? You would have thought Golden State-Denver would have been the TNT game tonight.
I would have thought a lot of things with the television contract, them all, but...
Yeah. I don't remember the last time I've seen a 7 o'clock Pacific time game in Milwaukee.
I don't either. Unless it's the NBA final. Oh, no, it wouldn't be that.
It would be 8 o'clock. It would be 8 o'clock local time in Central time zone.
Yeah.
Well, kids won't be going to bed on time in Milwaukee. That's all, Mo. I know you care a lot about that.
Listen, I'm an advocate of missing school when you're younger. Who cares? You don't learn anything. I mean, I wasted all this money on college. I see all guys like you went to Missouri, great journalism schools. I didn't go to journalism school. I talked my way into my first job.
Just remember, Amal, I have a history degree, not a journalism degree. Just remember that. So.
Well, it worked out well. Yeah. I'm glad your folks spent all that money.
They got the piece of paper. That's all that matters, right?
Let me tell you, in Florida, I could have gotten you one of those pieces of paper for $15,000. It would have said nursing. Did you see that? They just busted this fake paper mill on nursing degrees.
I did not see that.
Yeah.
Did not.
Hey, you learn something new every day, guys.
Let me tell you, if we could just do straight news and entertainment, we'd be far more entertaining.
Let's go back to this game here. Kelly, a lot of the Vegas books are going to come out with their big prop list today. Obviously, DraftKings and the newer age books have all those props out. I haven't done any of the legwork yet here. But all I will say is Kenneth Gainwell is the guy that I would look to attack. The problem is it feels like everyone is looking at Kenneth Gainwell props here, Amal. He's at 18.5 for DraftKings, juice to the under on a rushing total. We saw him go over that on one run in the NFC title game. That's the one thing with these shorter-priced running backs on Philly. It takes one big burst, 7.5 for Boston Scott. Now, you need the 8-yard carry from Scott, which you may not get.
Right.
But those numbers are so low that I'd be gravitating to that more than a 57.5 on Miles Sanders.
I would agree with you. The other thing when you're playing some of these props is you got to look at, Jeff, how you determine who's going to win the game. Do you think Kansas City's winning? Then you might be in a situation where Philly's got to throw a little bit more. If you believe Philadelphia's winning the game, then the running props or the rushing props become a lot more attractive because you're going to have more opportunities potentially to be able to kill the clock and run the football, as we saw late third quarter and fourth quarter against the 49ers.
Yeah, those carries have gone up, man. Big time for him in the playoffs. But you're talking about 14 against the Niners, 12 carries against the Giants. I mean, I guess the only thing, and I like that one too, Jeff, you know, David brought that up before the NFC Championship game. We discussed Gainwell a little bit. I like that too, but the question is how many of these carries factored in because of these both those games were blowouts for Philly.
Remember Gainwell went over his in the Niner game before,
correct?
Before the game was out of reach.
Yeah, I agree.
But you aren't wrong on what you're saying, Noamo.
Well, I very rarely am, unless I'm picking Oklahoma. But the reality of it is, you know, to me. By the way, Moser owes me some money, man. That team didn't even give an effort last night. He had a 17-yard carry of his 48 yards. The other 13, he had 31 yards. It's not like he's been overwhelming in his performances, all my point is.
Kelly, Super Bowl MVP market, we have that here. This is interesting, Amal, because Jalen Hurts actually, Kelly, correct me if I'm wrong here, wasn't Jalen Hurts shorter yesterday than plus 120?
Yeah, I
thought you meant he grew.
Well, maybe he has. I don't know. He's still young enough. Plus 120 on Hurts, plus 130 on Mahomes. Everyone else double digits. Very simple on this. If you like Kansas City to win the game, and I said this yesterday with Matt, if you like Kansas City to win the game, there, to me, feels like a less than 10% chance that someone not named Patrick Mahomes can possibly win the award. Offensively speaking, I don't think Kelce can possibly win the award unless if it's like a Mahomes has four passing touchdowns and four turnovers, and Kelce catches all four of those touchdowns.
Well, that would also be a first for Mahomes' career.
Yeah, it would be.
So, I tend to agree with you. I love your percentage, the breakdown you gave there in terms of him being the MVP. Look, I would not bet Jalen Hurts a plus 120 to win the Super Bowl MVP, assuming Philly wins. But with Kansas City, instead of taking the money line, I think, what are we at, plus 110 right now?
Yeah, about plus 110.
I would take Mahomes to win the MVP instead of... By the way, is there any possibility that Mahomes goes for 400 yards, they play tremendously well, but the defense in Philadelphia is kind of balanced, and you don't have a person that stands out, and Mahomes could win MVP in a losing effort?
Come on. Not happening.
Well, I don't think it is. I'm
not
just
happening.
Asking the question.
It's worth bringing up. I don't think so.
It's not happening. They'll find a way to give the award to Jalen Hurts in that spot if it's all balanced.
I think your point is well made, though, that Mahomes is like I would rarely suggest this, but I would bet Mahomes instead of betting the game money line.
The path is so small for a non Patrick Mahomes Chief to win it, and Amal with the Eagles side now, there is a real scenario where the Eagles win this game, where Jalen Hurts throws for under 150 yards. Rushes for about 50, so it's about 200 total yards for him. But then you get into a scenario where it's like, all right, who's the guy you look at? Miles Sanders, I don't think he's going to have a big enough game. If Hurts is throwing for under 200 yards, none of the receivers are having it. So then I guess you're gravitating towards the defensive side, and Hassan Reddick's number has been hacked down from 55-1 to 35-1.
Yeah, I think Mahomes is a little bit more difficult to sack than, you know, some of these other guys and cause a fumble on. But to me, the one that's interesting, and I'm surprised, A.J. Brown's 10-1. Devontae Smith is 25-1. When you look at run after catch, Devontae Smith, to me, is better, right? You could also utilize him in a different variety of situations or scenarios if necessary. This is a guy that won a Heisman Trophy. By the way, I don't know if there's a more underappreciated Heisman Trophy winner than Devontae Smith. I mean, he had a phenomenal year at Bama. He's gotten off to a great start in his professional career. I think he's a guy that's underappreciated and undervalued.
Hey, you know, it's interesting with those numbers on the difference between the receiver, because there could be a scenario where the Chiefs take Brown out and all of a sudden Smith, oh, wow, look up, 7 catches for 110 yards and a touchdown. There's your scenario there.
That's what I'm saying. I think he's got an opportunity, run after catch. He can do different things. But I agree with you guys. When you look at the Chiefs, it's Edwards-Helaire is not going to play. He's still on injured reserve. I like Pacheco a lot, but I don't think he's going to be the MVP.
Yeah.
So to me, I don't think it's really going to be a possibility. Didn't Doug Williams win the Super Bowl MVP when Timmy Smith ran for 202? Super Bowl 20.
Let me check.
Super Bowl 22 when they beat the Broncos, I think 42-20 in Minneapolis.
We're double checking.
Doug Williams won that.
Yeah.
Yeah. What was the score on that one?
Wasn't that the 35-point second quarter of that game?
Yeah.
Oh, hold on.
42-10.
42-10, okay. Yep. I doubled up the Broncos. I was adding the 10 points that they got against the 49ers.
There were some fun Super Bowls in the 80s, Amal.
Remember them.
I wasn't here for that yet. Here for that one, thankfully.
They were horrific. You had to find something to do by the time the game got to halftime. By the way, why do they have these 30-minute halftimes? I mean, the whole season you play 12-minute halftimes, and now we got to have a 30-minute halftime?
You're not excited for the halftime show?
Never have been. I think it's the worst thing in the world. To me, it's ridiculous. If I wanted to go see a concert, I'd go down to T-Mobile.
Oh, man. Look, you aren't wrong on the length of the halftime being too long. I agree with that. But, hey, it's a Super Bowl.
Kelly, this guy questions me, and then he agrees with me. What's going on here?
No, you know what?
I've had enough of this. We're getting out of here in 30 seconds.
See, there we go. There we go. Hey, you get Dave back tomorrow. Don't worry.
No, let me tell you something. I love talking college hoops with you.
Hey,
and you had some good Final Four picks there.
Hey, well, it'll be great when I get none of them to the Final Four.
Yeah, but speaking of which, your Missouri Tigers are playing well. Love the job Dennis Gates has done this year.
Hey, when you shoot 50% from three over a three-game stretch, usually you win three games.
They get good looks. They pass the ball well.
Fun offense. That's all we can do. here on VSiN Big Bets for Amal Shah, for Kelly Bidlin. I'm Jeff Parles. VSiN's Final Countdown with Matt Brown and Adam Burke coming your way next.
Last season on the Choosing Sides F1 podcast, we established unequivocally that F1 is the pinnacle of motorsports.
We did, but honestly, I was left with more questions than answers, Tony.
I'm Tony Karen Brown, a tech, culture, and F1 commentator.
And I'm Michael Costa, comedian from The Daily Show.
Join us for season two of Choosing Sides F1.
Our F1 102, if you will.
And get all of the answers.
All of them? Listen to Choosing Sides F1 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts,
or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Freddie Prinze Jr. and Jeff Dye back in the ring. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. Hey, Jeff, are you ready to rumble our way into an all-new season of Wrestling with Freddie?
You better believe I have. I've been practicing my body slams, and I'm jacked.
All right, don't go injuring yourself now. We'll be highlighting the best stories and matches of the week in wrestling from AEW, WWE, and have one-on-one talks with the best talents in the world of pro wrestling.
Listen to Wrestling with Freddie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Big Take from Bloomberg News brings you what's shaping the world's economies with the smartest and best-informed business reporters around the world.
We cover the stories behind what's moving money and markets
and help you understand what's happening, what it means, and why it matters every afternoon. I'm Sarah Holder.
I'm Saleha Mohsen.
And I'm David Gura. Listen to The Big Take on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Saleha Mohsen, and I've covered economic policy for years and reported on how it impacts people across the United States. In 2016, I saw how voters were leaning towards Trump and how so many Americans felt misunderstood by Washington. So I started The Big Take DC. We dig into how money, politics, and power shape government and the consequences for voters. With new episodes every Thursday, you can listen to The Big Take DC on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.